The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Everybody, it is Tuesday, December 12th, 2023, and it is indeed a heck of a morning. We are live on the MMA Fighting Twitter space. You can hear the show in its entirety shortly thereafter on the MMA Fighting Podcasting Network. What's going on, everybody? I am Mike Heck in a tremendous mood. Why? Because it is finally here. It is finally Jake Paul, Andre August fight week. I'm just playing. I will be there, but clearly, it's all about UFC 296, everybody. It is all about UFC 296. This is what we're excited about. This Saturday, T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. We've been waiting for this card, seems like forever. It's the final UFC fight card of the year, and it is a doozy, everybody. We've got Leon Edwards versus Colby Covington for the welterweight title, Alexandra Pantoja versus Brandon Royval for the flyweight title, Shavkat Rachmanov versus Stephen Thompson, Tony Ferguson versus Paddy Pimblett. Still kind of mad at AK, but I'm feeling a little bit better about that one. Vicente Luque versus Ian Machado Gary. Interesting fight there. Josh Emmett, Bryce Mitchell. This card is ridiculous. Aridi Aldana versus Carol Hosa. Cody Garbrandt versus Brian Kelleher. Big fight at 135. Brian Kelleher, what a comeback this would be if he could go in and beat the former champion. Casey O'Neill, Ariane Lipsky, Alonzo Menafield, Dustin Jacoby. Tagir Ulanbekov versus Cody Durden. These fights are all ridiculous. Andre Feely versus Lucas Almeida. Shamil Gadziev versus Martin Budai. And the first fight of this card, this is how stacked this lineup is. The first fight of UFC 296, the curtain jerker, if you will, is Randy Brown versus Muslim Salikov. Top 20, 25-ish welterweights. That's the first fight. That's the first fight. It's not debutants. It's not contender series vets who just got contracts. No. Two longtime veterans, two top 25-ish at worst welterweights, are going to kick off the card. It's a ridiculous card. It's ridiculous. And if you want to get even more fired up when this show is over, on the YouTube channel, on the podcast network, my conversation with John Anik previewing this card and all the storylines attached to it, it got me fired up, and it will probably get you fired up as well. All right, let's get to you all. If you have questions, you have thoughts, you have takes, line on up and we'll bring you all in. So we will begin with Moran. Moran, go ahead.
Oh. Hello, Mike.
Yes, I got you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Okay.
Yes.
My question is regarding Kobe. What do you think if he loses? Does he retire or stays? And does UFC want Kobe to win this? Do you think is he like the star? I think he think he is. So what do you think? Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. If he loses, I don't know. We talked about this last week. It would be devastating. I think he becomes, and I have to look this up for sure, but I could, it might be accurate. If not, he's in like a very low list, like a very small list of fighters. He will be the first, I think he's the first fighter in, at least in the modern era, who has fought for an undisputed title three times and lost all three times. So there's a lot at stake here for Colby. Anik and I talked about this as well. Like, what does Colby's legacy look like right now? Like, I know we look at the short term and we say, well, he hasn't fought this dude. He hasn't fought any ranked guys in forever. RDA's his last, like, quote-unquote meaningful win. All that. Like, I get it. Those who are down on him getting the shot, who don't want to justify that this is what the UFC is like now, just get the bigger names in there. I get it. I totally understand it. But is he a Hall of Famer? Like, is Colby a UFC Hall of Famer right now? I don't know. If he wins the belt, he probably is now, right? So, I don't know. There's a lot legacy-wise on the line for Colby. It's close. We've seen fighters get into the Hall of Fame for different reasons. Dana White's favorite fight in like the last 5 years is Usman Colby one. So could Colby find his way in the Hall of Fame for that fight? I think it's possible since there is no like Hall of Fame board. It's basically like Dana and crew just kind of make the decision. So if Dana wants that fight in the Hall of Fame, they'll just put it in. But a win would probably get him over the line. So, I mean, it's super interesting the aftermath of this fight. Because if Leon wins, what does this all mean? Is it definitely Bilal? Is he going to call for the middleweight fight that he's probably not going to get? I don't know. What if Shafkat just steamrolls Wonderboy? Does he jump the line? I don't know. What if Wonderboy beats Shafkat? Does he jump the line? He's about to turn 41. He may only get one last shot at this. If I'm Bilal Muhammad, I'd be absolutely rip shit if that's what happens. If either guy does. But Shafkat running Wonderboy, he's got to get a lot of buzz. Probably a lot more buzz than Bilal got after beating Gilbert Burns, if we're being honest. It's going to be super interesting if Leon wins. And if Colby wins, then it's, boy, it's all bets are off here. All bets are off. Like, literally everybody is in play if Colby wins the belt. And where does this leave Leon? Will he ever fight for the belt again? So you have interesting questions either way. Where does Leon go if he loses? Took him so long to get to a title shot. He got there. He's had one defense. He probably won't merit an immediate rematch. I don't know what's more interesting. I don't know what the more interesting question is. Where does Colby go with the loss, or where does Leon go with the loss? We'll see. That's what makes this fight just so friggin' fascinating in so many ways. Tristan, go ahead. Tristan, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Good. My question is towards Casey O'Neill. Now, with Casey O'Neill, when she was coming up, we looked at the kind of the four. So that four would be Erin Blanchfield, Tracy Cortez, and Macy Barber, and her. And I remember a friend of mine, we were talking about it, and this is when I was like, oh, Casey O'Neill, this girl is going to be the one. She's going to be there in a couple of years where she's fighting for the title. But then when Erin Blanchfield started coming in, I was like, he was telling me, like, yo, man, I think Aaron Blanche was better. I was like, are you serious? Because the way how Casey O'Neill looked, she looked incredible. I was like, oh, my God. But he was telling me, I'm telling you, Aaron Blanchfield is better, is going to be the one that's going to shoot to the top. And I'm like, all right, I watched Aaron Blanchfield. I'm like, oh, yeah, he's right. I'm like, he's right about this. So then we saw, obviously, and then Macy Barbara, it took her some time because of the injuries and stuff like that. Now she's starting to get up. Tracy Cortez, we're not even talking about, and she's putting on together a good run. So it looks like out of the four, Casey O'Neill at the time is just, you know, had that setback. I mean, she was coming up, and then she just changed her style where she was dominating, and then she just decided, well, I'm not going to be grappling anymore. I'm just going to stand toe-to-toe, where her striking's not that great, but it has to get better. I mean, this is a pivotal. Like, she needs to dominate this fight against Lipsky. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. I need a finish from this girl to see where she is, or she's going to get lagged behind out of those top four in the coming years, if she wants to be the one to be fighting for title shots. Mike, just your thoughts on that. Out of the four, those top prospects that we're seeing here, where are we at with Casey O'Neill from this standpoint? Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, sir. A lot to unpack there. Casey O'Neill has a lot of potential. She's 26 years old. She kind of got too big of a bump up, if we're being honest, going from Roxanne to Jennifer Maya. It's tough. Like, that's a big jump. But I understand why the UFC did it. Let's see what we got with her. And she came up short. She tried to have a kickboxing match, essentially, with Jennifer Maya, and that didn't really work out. What Casey O'Neill does so well is she just chips away at you. Chips away at you with just pressure, and she doesn't let you breathe when she's really on. And didn't really see that from her in the Jennifer Maya fight. What we saw from her was, I'm an outstriker, and that didn't really work out for her. So we will see where she goes on Saturday. I like this matchup with Ariane Lipsky, and big spot for her. See if she could bounce back and keep it rolling here. She probably needs this one, considering where this division is at right now. Obviously, Aaron Blanchfield's a monster. And Tracy Cortez is on a nice little run right now. I think the UFC could really do something with her. And then you kind of just look at the rest of these flyweights. Macy Barber, big fight coming up against Caitlin Chookagian. I really like what I've seen from her. I sat cage side for that Amanda Ribas fight. She beat the hell out of Amanda Ribas. That was vicious. That was a vicious beating. So, and don't forget about Natty Ice, guys. Don't forget about Natty Ice. She's going to be somebody who's going to be a problem in this division as well. So 125 has a lot of super fun fighters in the division, a lot of super fun fighters on the come up. It's going to be fun. It's going to be very, very fun to watch where this division goes. But big fight for Casey O'Neill. Starts with her, and then we'll see what happens. But don't forget about Natty Ice in this conversation, because I think they got something with her, too. She's going to be tough to beat. Once she fights like a super-duper... I mean, and she fought... I was going to say, once she fights a super-duper grappler, see, but that's kind of what Jasmine Jastavizius is. She beat the hell out of Jasmine in that fight. So, yeah, 25 is fun. It's the new staple division, I think, in terms of talent and what's, you know, depth. It's kind of where bantamweight used to be a long time ago. It's kind of where strawweight was a couple of years ago. Not saying strawweight took a huge step back, but flyweight's the most interesting division right now for the women, in my opinion. Four Quarter Sports, go ahead. Four Corner Sports. Okay, hop out, hop back.
Hello.
Hello, Adi.
Hi, Mike. I thought Four Corner Sports was going to talk and explain.
Yeah, it didn't go. It didn't go through. But go ahead.
Oh, Four Corner Sports. I think you need to explain yourself. Andre Muniz versus Anthony Smith, a compelling matchup. But I think you need to explain yourself. They went on you, AK and Mike Heck. But anyway, it's good to talk to you, Mike. How have you been?
Good. What's on your mind?
Yes. So I know we're all in UFC 296 fight week, but I would like to take you away from UFC 296 fight week, because as we go further into the week, it's going to be impossible to do that. So I know that you haven't been enjoying AEW. You haven't been enjoying what AEW has been doing. But Mike, what do you think of the Continental Classic, the round robin tournament? We know that PFL does its tournament thingy. And one thing about the tournament is they do market that we have all these fighters and all these exciting what-if matchups. But basically, a fighter loses a certain match, it's not guaranteed that we'll get all the dream matches. You know what I mean? Let's say, just for the heck of it, we had AJ McKee and Usman Nurmagomedov, in the tournament, but they were not matched up together. They were matched up against other opponents. If either of them loses, the match goes out of the window for the tournament. But if it was this round robin tournament, everyone would compete against each other. Do you think there is a way, this PFL at all, or however you'd like to call it, they can pull off something new with this tournament series? It would be really nice if they can do that, because the way PFL and Bellator are right now, there's absolutely no intrigue whatsoever, right? So it's things like these that can build up intrigue. They can definitely not drum up intrigue from the fighters that they have. Then maybe at least change the format of your matchups. And for fuck's sake, get rid of the smart cage. Just call it a cage. What's the use of calling it a smart cage? I don't understand. Anyway, so that's there. And one of the submissions that I wanted to give to the next one was Andre Muniz versus Rodolfo Vieira. I'm sorry if it's a doo-doo pick, but I think, we need to see this stylistic matchup of, these both grappling styles. And I think you and I had our little Friends Forever moment with Anthony Smith and Dominic Reyes, win or lose. That's a good thing. And yes, that's more or less it, Mike. Have a nice pre-Christmas, I guess. I don't know. I wanted to say something, but yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, sir. Yeah, they could do Vieira versus Muniz down the road. I can't right now because Muniz has a fight booked February 10th against Armin Petrosian, so somewhat some doo-doo there. So the round, PFL basically does, look, it's impossible to do a round robin. It's impossible. It would take forever. It would take forever. If you had all those fighters, go in and just kind of fight each other throughout, it would take forever. So they're kind of doing that. This is not, their format is not the same as the Bellator Grand Prix. The Bellator Grand Prix is a legit tournament. PFL, you get two fights. You get two regular season fights. And then the point system is kind of stupid. PFL just makes a lot of mistakes down the line. Just remember last year, without knowledge in any way for the fighters involved in the season, they moved the playoffs to the UK. So all the fighters who got visas to travel to the US could not go. So they had to replace half the fights with different opponents because they couldn't get everybody over there. That's the ridiculous shit that they keep doing to themselves. And I don't think they're going to change very much. I don't think you really can change much maybe you change the point system. Like you can, someone could go, it's just weird that somebody could go 2-0 and then like still somehow not make the playoffs. It's super weird. It's super weird how that all works out. As far as the AEW thing goes, look, AEW is in a tough spot right now. This thing that they're doing is so, gosh, it's so friggin' confusing with the points and this and that, the two divisions and all this shit. Like, people who watch AEW probably like it because they love Japanese-style tournaments of that nature. They like it. For me, I'm just like, what is this? Like, you just get, you get good matches, but like, so what? There's no spin to it whatsoever. And then you have a guy like Mark Briscoe, after everything he's gone through, just get run right out of the building every single time he wrestles. Like, it's so stupid. AEW is just, they have money forever, so they're not going anywhere. But man, that promotion in terms of like intrigue and getting new people to watch, it's in a tough place. It's in a tough place. And I'll tell you what, if I'm MJF right now, I am looking to get out of Dodge right now because he's the reason I watch the damn show and I don't even want to watch him anymore because they overbook him. It's terrible. It's terrible. I had too many people waiting, buddy. I'm sorry. I can't bring you back in. But I appreciate that. We could talk later in the week about it. But yeah, AEW's struggling. They're struggling. WWE is killing them right now.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Four Corner Sports.
All right. Sorry about that. I had a phone call that came in that messed everything up. But I wanted to talk about a couple of things. One, I wanted to correct my mistake. I was half asleep when I ended up DMing you, and I did mean to put Andre Muniz. I thought I had put in Anthony Smith because I was going to match him up with either Kennedy and Sujuko because I know he came off of a loss against Dustin Jacoby. And just because I feel like Anthony Smith wasn't going to take the fighter that Khalil Roundtree was originally supposed to face, but that was, I originally had it Andre Muniz versus Fluffy Hernandez because I just felt that Ikram would just starch him. I feel like Ikram is, to me, this top three best middleweight, so That was the whole thing behind it. But I feel like there's a lot of questions that I have for this week coming up, because this is the last card of the year. I feel like we are going to get, from the time, from that time gap that we are going to have from December 17th up until the first card of January, we are going to get, I feel like Dana's going to pop up some news as for at least a title fight that is going to happen at UFC 300. I think he's just waiting for the outcome of Leon versus Colby. I do feel like a lot of the vibes are screaming that Colby Covington is going to win, just because if he does come with a loss, you know, he'll be 0-3 in title fights, and it's not going to look good for his career, just because, you know, Dana has always praised him, especially that first Usman-Colby fight. And also, you know, many people had felt that Colby was, if there was no Usman in the welterweight division, that he would have easily have won the title. Now, Usman is not in the division as of right now because he fought at middleweight. But I do feel that, you know, this is his time. If he can't get it done now, then he will never, you know, what's it called, have gold wrapped around his waist instead of interim. But, yeah, I really do feel that we, you know, what's it called, if Colby wins, won't be surprised if he headlines the UFC 300, you know. And, you know, he is a prize fighter. I could see something along the lines of, you know, Colby trying to, you know, fight somebody like of a Hamza Shamayev, you know, trying to headline. I know that Hamza, you know, struggles at points of making 170, but, you know, UFC is in the business of, you know, putting asses in seats and making the biggest fights possible. So I could see that happening. Or I know people are going to, you know, get upset about it, but I could even see something of them scratching the Conor fight between Chandler and then having Colby versus Conor, you know, and, you know, Conor chasing history, you know, becoming the first person to win three titles in three separate divisions. So I'm very interested on how this fight week is about to go about, because I feel like we're going to get a lot of questions being answered. All right. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I don't really have a vibes feel just yet. If I'm playing armchair psychologist, just like listening to their interviews and stuff, Leon looks way more confident than Colby does. And I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not saying like Colby isn't confident. But Leon, it's like the way Leon is talking, it's like he knows something that we don't. It's very weird. It's very strange. The last time I felt this way in a fight week, and I was dead wrong about this, I certainly didn't pick this guy to win. But when I was covering, 273? It was whatever the Volkanovski zombie Gilbert Burns Hamzat fight was. I think it was 273 in Jacksonville. And the way that Korean Zombie's team was talking to me, like, all week when I saw them, like, just the confidence in them, I was just like, am I missing something? Like, I must be missing something. Because there's always, like, you know, you talk to coaches and you talk to teammates and stuff about certain things, and you talk to managers that you talk to, like, usually in emails or texts or whatever, and you see them in person, you catch up, and you start asking questions, and just... that was like the first time that I saw that, where it's just like, wait till you see what happens. And they, like, everybody across the board said that. And I was just like, I must be missing something. And of course the fight played out the way that it played out, and Volk pitched a perfect game essentially. And Leon, it's just that's what I kind of gauge from Leon here. Like, Leon sees something that we don't. So we'll see what happens. Colby Connor, like, you basically said, like, well, people aren't going to like this. I'm telling you right now, that's what Colby's going to call for. That's what he's going to call for. He's going to call for Connor. And he should. He should. Colby's a prize fighter. Colby is not a meritocratic fighter. Never hasn't been that way in a long time. Colby wants big fights. Colby's getting up there in age. I don't think he has a lot of years left in the sport. I mean, he can go as long as he wants. But at the end of the day, he wants big fights. Bilal Muhammad does not interest him at all, I'm sure. Shavkat doesn't interest him at all, I'm sure. He wants big names. He would go for Connor. He would go for Poirier, because there's a story there. Hell, he could call for Masvidal to come out of retirement. You're telling me that that's not a gigantic fight box office? I, as a fan and as someone who watches the sport, am not interested in watching that fight at all. But from a storyline and a casual audience perspective, that fight would do bonkers numbers. It would. It would do huge numbers. So, yeah, Colby winning is far more weird than Leon winning, and I still don't know what's going to happen if Leon wins either. So the fallout of that fight is going to be super interesting. Clay, go ahead.
Hello, Mike. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
I'm not the hugest Leon fan out there, but I really like his chances against Colby this weekend, and I think he's going to pull off one of those greatest knockouts that we are going to see this weekend. And he can get in a lot of being staying in 170. I didn't like what he had to say about going to 185 and, you know, being a double champ. No one is interested in that. Like, literally no one. And there is a lot he can do. There is Bilal out there. There is Ian Act out there. So what do you say about this?
You're right. No one wants to see this. Here's the thing. 185, especially with Sean Strickland as the champion and everything that has happened and some of the contenders that are coming up right now, they don't need it. They don't need it at all. But they also didn't need Volk going up to 55. It just turned out that the timing was absolutely perfect for it. There is just no shortage of guys who are ready to go to fight for that belt right now. Strickland's fighting DDP. You got Izzy ready to come back. You got Costa. You got Chimaev. You got Whitaker, who's in play right now as well, even though, you know, he's had his opportunities. Whitaker's back in play, still very popular. Usman's at 185 now. Dalidze's real good if he gets a big win. Cannonier has a case right now. And then you got, like, the Ikram Alaskarovs of the world, the Kyle Baraglios of the world. Brendan Allen's on a tear. There is no shortage of guys that could fight for belts right now. So there's no interest in this. None. Maybe he's just saying it to make headlines. I think Leon also talked to our own Damon Martin, and I think he clarified things a little bit in that conversation, basically saying, like, hey, I'm not saying that, like, it's going to be next, but it's something that I'm going to do. And if that's the case, fine. You go in there. If Leon beats Colby and then he beats, I assume they would go with Bilal Muhammad if Leon wins. But they could go with Shafkat if he just annihilates Wonderboy. Like, that would not shock me at this point. It would be kind of ridiculous considering what Bilal has done. But if he goes in there and he beats Bilal and then he beats Shafkat, then go for it. Like, I'm cool with that. It's four title defenses. Cool. Go for it. I mean, Gary could be there as well. That would be an interesting story depending on where he's at. So maybe beat Gary, then go to 185. Like, then I'm fine with it. Then I'm okay with it. But if he does just say, like, hey, Sean, DDP, my next fight's going to be against one of you guys for the middleweight title, it's going to go over like flatulence in church. That's just what it's going to be. So hopefully that doesn't happen. And we'll see. If Leon, I'll tell you what, man, if Leon just goes out and just runs Colby, like, just runs him out of the building, that will be really impressive because it's so hard to do that to Colby. Who's done it? Like, even when Usman finished him in round five, like, that fight was super close. And the second fight, super close. I scored it for Usman, but it was super close. So there's, like, nobody runs Colby. It's really hard to... I know he got submitted early. I think Worley Alves is the one who stopped Colby early on in his UFC run. He goes out there and just, like, knocks Colby out in the second round. That's going to be incredibly impressive to me. Incredibly impressive. But he's got a lot on the line, too. If he loses, boy, a lot of this goes away. A lot of this goes away. It's a really interesting fight. I can't wait for it. I can't wait to join my man GC in the MMA Hour studio to watch live on the watch party. It's going to be super fun. We're going to try to get Viking in here. Viking, go ahead. How are you?
Uh, Binil Dariush is sort of old story, but you know, there was Binil Dariush, there was a delay from Tesla for the delivery of his car, and then he called out Elon Musk after his fight and sort of cut the promo. So as we are saying that title shot, we are blaming Binil Dariush for not calling out for a title shot. That's not right, because he was not interested in that. If you're taking an example of that call out when he asked Elon Musk to deliver his car. So that's it. And the other thing I want to tell everyone, all the listeners and speakers, that if you are dealing with mental illness, please go to the doctor as early as you can, because it's too dangerous. Do not fight it alone. Do not try to fight it alone. Just seek a doctor, or else it's going to grow, and it's going to grow faster than you think. So please, if you're dealing with any sort of mental illness, you should go to the doctor as fast as you can, or else it's gonna. Because I was dealing with one disorder, and now I'm dealing with multiple disorders because I was late. So please go to the doctor and seek the doctor. Tell him everything. Do not try to fight it alone. Thanks a lot, brother.
Well said, my man. Well said. The Benil thing. Look, I'm not blaming Benil. Like, the things I say about Benil's issues on the microphone, honestly, it's nothing to do with the Elon thing. I actually think of all the post-fight in-cage interviews he has ever had, that was the most intriguing one he's ever had, by far. It made headlines. It was funny. People were talking about it. I think Elon even responded to it in some way, shape, or form. Like, that was good. Like, it was topical. It was funny. Because, look, like, if we shout out Rafael Fiziev for calling out, different kinds of people out of fun, then how can we shit on Benil for it? Like, I thought it was good. The problem was Benil just continued to not call for it. He would do interviews and say, look, if I win, I should definitely get the title fight, which he was absolutely right about. But then he beats Matush Gamrot on the same card that the vacant lightweight title is going to be put on the line. Someone is going to win. And your answer was, I don't care, I'll fight 10 more guys. Like, that, he was done after that. He was done after that. I remember reacting on the, because that was the first watch party we had ever done. And I was like, what? What are you doing? That's where Do the Thing was born. Do the Thing, that's where it was born, right then and there. Because Bilal kind of did the thing, but didn't really do the thing, because he was supposed to call it Hamzat and he didn't say his name. And then Benil just said, nah, I don't care, I'll fight 10 more guys. The UFC's like, yeah, you will. Now you're going to. And then as soon as that happened, Islam was like, ooh, this is great. And as soon as he beat Charles, what did Khabib do? He called out Alexander Volkanovski, who's in the crowd, and Benil's title hopes were gone. He had to go fight Charles Oliveira now. It is so imperative that you make those moments count. I'm not saying as like a 35th ranked guy, like, you need to do that. But in those situations when you're like, you probably have done enough to get a title fight, like, you have to be interesting. You have to make people want to talk about you. You can't be like, okay, here it comes, here it comes, here it comes. Ah, man. You can't be that. You can't do that. Then it's just like, Benil, you screwed yourself. His interview with Submission Radio that just popped up was really, really fascinating. So I highly recommend you go and check that out. Shout out to Submission Radio. Love those guys. But yeah, that interview was super interesting. So go check that out. You know, dealing with a guy who was so close to a title fight. Strategic move here, an interesting call out there. He probably gets it, but he never got it. Now he's probably never going to get it. Sports, just the swings of it is just freaking wild, man. Even I believe he even said in that conversation that he's he'd be down to fight Benoit Saint-Denis next, which sign me the hell up for that. I'm down for that. Like, Caio Baraglio calling out DDP made no sense. Like, that call makes no sense. You know what I mean? You gotta be better. You gotta be better. Realistic, yet interesting at the same time. That's the combination. That's what you need. Jacob, go ahead.
Hey, Mike. I just went on a couple of the sports betting sites, and I was under the impression that Leon was going to be the underdog for his fight, but I just saw Colby sitting at about plus 120 odds right now. Think there's value on putting any money on Colby for the fight. Thank you, and have a heck of a morning.
So, let me take a gander real quick. Let me see what we're looking at. Because obviously with the watch party, I'm going to place some wagers. Right now I'm looking at Colby. I'm trying to see, like, so Colby at one point was a minus 190 favorite. I don't know if this was in April. When the line first opened in April, after Dana was like, I don't give a shit what happens, he's fighting Colby next. It opened at minus 190 for Colby. Then it just kind of slowly went up, got to minus 104 by May, and then it just kind of flatlined from there. And then in October, Leon became the slight favorite, and then it kind of went down, got close to even money, and now Colby's a plus 124 dog according to DraftKings. If you're going to bet Colby, I kind of feel like you might as well just get all the juice you can out of it. Because let's be honest, like, if Colby wins, I'd be pretty surprised if he finishes Leon. I mean, it'd be pretty freaking wild if he does. So I know that the props haven't dropped on DraftKings yet, but some are live. The ones that I'm looking at right now, Colby by decision is plus 250. So you're basically getting double your juice. And if Colby wins, probably going to win by decision. So yeah, plus 250, might as well get the extra juice out of it, I think. And then Leon, what's Leon by decision? Leon by decision is plus 150. If you think Leon's going to, For the person who called earlier, for Clay saying he's going to land a vicious knockout, plus 380 for Edwards by KO or TKO, at least on those lines. So, yeah, I think there's value on Colby. But if you're going to bet him and you think he's going to win a decision, which if I'm going to bet him, that's probably the pick I'm doing is Colby by decision, plus 250. But maybe I'll wait and see if the line gets juiced up a little bit. Maybe the press conference happens and Leon just does better than Colby. And, you know, sometimes the line moves after those types of things. So we'll see. We'll see. But I think there's value on Colby. I think this fight's closer than people think. A lot of people are just like, oh, Leon's going to kill him. I don't think so. The big question I have is, can Colby get going quickly? Can he get takedowns? Can he win round one? If he can establish that base and get takedowns early and turn this into a, not a slog, but a Colby-esque kind of a fight, he's got a real good chance. But if he waits till round three, like he did in the Usman rematch, to get cooking, it could be a long night for him. So I'm real interested to see what the first 10 minutes of this fight looks like if it gets that far. But if Colby goes out and wins the first round, this fight gets real interesting. Really, really interesting. All right, we'll keep going. I see three people who I haven't heard from yet, so I'm going to try to get to all of you. Let's try to do some rapid fire here. We'll start with Nicholas. Maybe he gets connected. He's had a tough time. We'll see if today is the day. Thus far, it's the Wheel of Doom. And looks like the Wheel of Doom will be continuing on. Eric, go ahead.
I think it's time for him to retire. And I think Colby and Leon is going to be a good fight. And Pantoja, and I think Orville's going to beat Pantoja, but I think Pantoja is going to win by decision. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, dude, Pantoja Royval is ridiculous. Nobody is talking about that fight. Nobody. The answer to the low-key banger is that fight. And it doesn't make any sense because it's the co-main event, but out of all the main card fights, Pantoja Royval 2 is being talked about the least by a mile. By a mile. No one talking about that fight. Nobody. And it's insane. That fight's going to be incredible. That's going to be the best fight on the card, I think. Doesn't have like the storyline casual appeal to it like some of these other fights, but that fight is going to deliver. No matter how, if it goes 3 minutes or it goes 25 minutes, that fight is going to deliver. It is going to deliver. If we get to a third round, and even with Royval fights, it may not even have to go that long. If we get to a third round in that one, that might get a Fight of the Year nomination. But no one's talking about it. It's going to be super fun. I'm very, very excited. Very excited. Crypto Rapid Fire, what you got?
Okay, so...
What's up, buddy?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Yeah, so three quick questions, Mike. For the main card, which fighter will have the fastest finish? That's question number one. The second question is, which fighter will have the most amount of significant strikes? Question number two. And the third and final question is, which fighter will get the most amount of takedowns? So what I need from you, Mike, is to guess the fighter, but also give me the specifics. So the number of significant strikes, number of takedowns, and for the fastest finish, I need a round and time for that round. And please know, Mike, there are stakes attached to this. I won't disclose exactly what the stakes are. I will tell you on Friday. It might even spice up the watch party. But for now, know that there are stakes attached in a positive way, of course. I'll keep you updated. You'll get to know on Friday why I asked these three specific questions. Thank you, Mike.
Oh my God. Jeez, I gotta actually like throw out numbers here. Let's see. Let me pull up the card real quick. So fastest finish. Fastest finish, most significant strikes, most takedowns. Man, it's tough. That's really tough. Fastest finish. God, I don't like, because like none of these fights scream like ether. You know what I mean? Like there are some wide line fights. But none of them scream out like, yeah, first round finish. Boy, that's tough. I will say, man, I will say fastest finish goes to Shavkat Rakhmonov. Round two. 3 minutes, 45 seconds in round two. I don't know how he does it, but I think Wonderboy's competitive. I think Rakhmonov's like, all right, F this. I'm taking him down and tapping him. That's, I don't know if he submits him or he just ground and pounds, but that's my guess. But like, it's so hard. Most significant strikes. I will say Colby Covington lands the most significant strikes. Now that may not mean he wins, But Colby puts up numbers in the striking department. And even if Leon, even if he has quote unquote more significant strikes on UFC stats than Leon does, it doesn't mean that his shots are going to be more effective. You know, damage, damage, damage. So I will say Colby, because he has five rounds, I think it will go to the cards. I think Leon could probably have more impact with his striking, but I do think Colby's going to have to take this fight to the ground, and he's going to land significant strikes while it's on the ground as well. Most takedowns landed on the card will be... Bryce Mitchell with 6 against Josh Emmett. He will be credited with 6 takedowns. Now, he may not do much with them, but he will be credited with 6 takedowns. Top of my head, that's what I got. And I have zero confidence in either of these picks. None. Zero. All right. Ani, I'll bring you in real quick. You got like 15 seconds. Because we got to go. Do we have you? Are you there? No. Didn't connect. All right. Well, there you have it. Another edition of Heck of a Morning in the books. Get excited, everybody. I believe our guy Jose is off to Las Vegas later on today. He will be there all week long. Media day tomorrow. There'll be multiple press conferences. There'll be the 296 presser on Thursday, which is going to be super weird, probably uncomfortable at times, but maybe that's your jam. There's going to be a presser on Friday as well, the seasonal press conference. So you're going to have like Strickland and DDP and O'Malley and Cheeto, probably Volk and Taporia. I think Raquel Pennington, Myra Buena Silva maybe there as well. I don't know. But it's going to be fun. That'll happen. Friday's weigh-in day. You know what that means. AK will be hosting the weigh-in show with Casey and Jose. We'll have the MMA Awards on Thursday. There's just karate combat on Friday. I'm actually off to Orlando first thing tomorrow morning for the Jake Paul fight. Look, I know. I see you. I hear you, but I'm going. I'm in driving distance. I'm going. So I'm going to go check that out. Press conference for that is tomorrow. Weigh-ins on Thursday. Fight on Friday. And then I'm off to New York first thing Saturday morning for the watch party. And then we'll have tons of fun on Saturday. And then AK, my best friend and I, one more matchmaking edition of On to the Next One on Sunday for 2023. And we'll be live for that one. On the YouTube channel. Not sure what time, but it's going to happen. So we appreciate you all very much. Back here sometime on Thursday. Not sure when, but we will make sure we get enough shows. BTL will let you know what's happening with that as well, with so much going on this week, but we will do that show in some way, shape, or form this week as well. So thank you all very much. Have a great rest of your Thursday, and have a heck of a morning, everybody.
Listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.